Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
We're turning to Psalm 23, and I needn't tell you we're getting very close to the end of the psalm. I hope that it has been a benefit to you so far, and what studies we have yet to partake in will also prove to be a blessing. The verse that we're looking at is verse 5. The last verse but one. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I have to say that here's a verse with much in it. It touches upon quite a few wonderful truths. David is once again setting before us what the Lord has done for him. David has been doing that since the very first verse. And there's something for us to copy. We should ever seek to speak well of the Lord and tell others of his goodness. But the first thing I want you to notice about these words in verse 5 is that here David is talking to the Lord. He's saying, thou preparest a table. He's talking to the Lord. And boys and girls, I'd like you first of all to notice that we must ever acknowledge to the Lord his goodness and his mercy toward us. That's what David is doing here. He's telling the Lord that he recognizes the goodness that he has received from him. And the whole verse is one that's very wide in its scope, its details regarding God's goodness. He speaks of a table prepared in the very presence of the enemy. He speaks of his head being anointed, and he speaks of his cup running over. David hasn't forgotten anything that the Lord has done for him. Hasn't forgotten anything. He's touching upon all the things that God has done. Never forget what the Lord has done for you. Bring them up in your mind and think upon them, and you'll thank him for his mercies when you examine them in detail. Then I want you to notice that though David is here speaking to the Lord, he has written down what he has spoken to the Lord for you to read. He has been, of course, instructed to do that. He was inspired of the Holy Ghost to write down these words for us to read. And so he is, as it were, setting us an example that we must ever proclaim and speak of, not only in prayer to the Lord, which is a sort of a secret thing, but we must ever publicly proclaim, just as David has publicly put on record what God has done for him, so should it be with us. The world is ever mocking the Lord, you see. The world is ever making little of the Lord, despising him and his name, and miscalling him. But we must act differently, and we must ever be giving to the Lord the glory that is due to his name. We read that in the Psalm 29 and the verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. There is a due, a debt that we must pay, and it involves us giving to God the glory, telling others of what he has done for us, and upholding his name. I was in the shop the other day, and I was actually just going out through the door, and a man came in, and he had walked on down the aisle of the shop, and he greeted the owner of the shop, and he took the name of the Lord in vain. By this time I was on the pavement, but I was thinking to myself, if I was a Muslim, and he had just taken the name of the Muslim's God, Allah, and used it as a blasphemy, then I as a Muslim probably would have reached round and grabbed something off the shelf of the shop and banged him over the head. That's what Muslims are inclined to do. I saw some reports of thousands of them gathered outside some cinemas where they were showing a film about Allah or Muhammad or something, and they didn't like it, and they gathered in their thousands to shout and protest And yet, they can make films blaspheming the Lord Jesus and mocking the Lord Jesus shamefully. And you would hardly get one Christian to go and voice opposition to that taking place. Oh, we must be ever ready to uphold the honour and the name and the glory of the Lord. Then notice also that David speaks of a table. He says, "Thou preparest a table before me." I want you to picture in your mind either your mum, or perhaps if you have ever visited a restaurant with your parents, picture the lady coming and setting down the napkin, the knives and the forks and the cups and all the rest of it, preparing the table. And of course, the preparation doesn't end there. The food set down as well for you to eat. This is the sort of thing David is speaking of. Thou preparest a table. Now, I want you to think on this, because before you, at this moment, there's a table that God has prepared. It's not a visible table that you can see with your eyes, but nevertheless, it's a table laden with the good things that God has provided for you. You got up this morning, you're alive. He gave you life this morning. Across the world, there were many who went to bed last night and didn't get up this morning. And the family of that person is at this moment mourning the fact that they have passed away. But God has given you life this morning and health. And you got up in a very comfortable home and you put on nice clothes and you went down and you had a nice meal. That was all the Lord's provision. And here you are, you've travelled to school and you're in a Christian school. That's part of the Lord's provision. He's spreading a table for you to sit down at and partake of his bounty. See, the Lord's not only a shepherd, but he's also a kindly host, looking after us, caring for us. Like the Good Samaritan, you remember he cared of the man that had been injured, and then he committed him to a man who would look after him and paid that man to look after him. And the man acted as a host toward the injured person. That's what the Lord is for us. He looks after us. He's always standing, not too far away, just waiting to step forward and provide you with what you need. He looks out for you all the time, all the time. Of course, the world doesn't believe that this is possible. In Psalm 78, in the verses 17 and 19, there are recorded the words of a man who mocked Elisha, when he said, during a famine, "Tomorrow the Lord will provide food." And the man mocked. "I don't know how that could be." But it came to pass. It came to pass. The Lord provided the food. And the man who mocked was trampled down by the crowd of starving people as they rushed forward to take hold upon the bounty that had been provided by God. But notice that we sit at a table in the midst of our enemies. That's a marvellous thing. The last place in the world that you would set up a picnic is on a battlefield. But that's where the Christian has the picnic provided by God. On a battlefield. And the Christian is the target of the enemy. The enemy is firing ceaselessly at the Christian sitting partaking of the bounty of God. But the Christian's protected. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy." Now, God wouldn't prepare a table, invite you to come and eat, and then abandon you to the enemy, so that you could never really eat what God had provided. No, God doesn't allow that to happen. What God has provided, you will enjoy, no matter what the enemy may try to do. I was reading just this morning, it comes to my mind, and I'll just read it to you. In the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, I was reading this morning where John says, "And I saw a sea," this is Revelation 15 verse 2, "and I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. And as I read those words, I thought to myself, now, these are those who had been martyred by the Antichrist. But it is said of them, they got the victory over the Antichrist. Now, the Antichrist thought he had got the victory over them by killing them. But as I once told a man that I believe was an IRA man, but he certainly was a strong Republican down the road in Trillick, who told me at an open air we were conducting that they knew exactly every movement I took and they could kill me at any time they wanted. Well, I love that sort of a situation. So I said to him, among other things, I said, if you were to kill me, you would only open the door of heaven for me. That's where I would go. The moment you killed me, I would step into heaven. Now that's hardly a wonderful accomplishment for you to send me to heaven. And then I went on to say to him, but on the other hand, if it was you who was shot, where would you go? And that got home to him. So, in the very presence of our enemies, God provides for us and is pleased to preserve us until such times as he deems it right for us to leave this earth and go to heaven. The enemy is helpless to hinder us, helpless to do us any harm, and can only accomplish that which God permits them to do. You only have to read the story of Job to learn that. The devil would love to have killed Job there and then. But God said, no, you'll not kill him. And the devil, who is a murderer, couldn't kill Job. Oh, he could touch his body, plague him as he did. But he could only do that because God permitted him to do it. It pleased God to allow that to happen. Boys and girls, you and I can sit down at a table, spread by God, in the very presence of our enemy. It's full of fat things. That's what the Bible speaks of, God's provision. Fat things. Not skinny old meat that has no real nourishment in it, but well-favoured. Fat things. A lot of people today in the world, and what they eat hardly amounts to anything. But you and I enjoy an awful lot more here in this land. Despite all the groaning and the complaining there may be in the nation in truth feasts well. And so it is with God's people. You have here in this verse a little picture of the feast that is to come. Because what God is doing for us here is but a picture of what he is going to do in eternity to a far greater degree. In heaven there is a feast. The Lord's preparing it for us. Today, one day we will sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I can't even begin to imagine what that will be. Let me come to another point here in this verse. The Lord prepared for David a table in the presence of his enemies, and thou anointest my head with oil. Now, perhaps we don't quite understand what that refers to, but it was a practice in Israel. When a guest was there, that a little oil was poured upon their head as a means of refreshment. It's not something that we would readily understand. But in Luke chapter 7, we read of the woman coming and anointing the feet of the Lord Jesus. And you remember the man who had invited the Savior there to partake of a meal. He complained and wanted the woman to be chaste. And the Lord said, leave her alone. When I have come in here, she has looked after me and cared for me and anointed my feet. You never anointed my head, but she has anointed and looked after my feet. So it was a practice, you see, to anoint the head of a guest with a little oil. It probably would have been a perfumed oil, giving off a sweet and refreshing aroma. Well, David says, Lord, you anointed my head with oil. Now how does God do that for us? Well, I believe that this is a reference and a picture of God pouring out his spirit upon the head of his people. Remember at the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out, and he would have been poured out upon the head of those who were gathered in prayer. And by the pouring out of his Spirit upon the heads of the people gathered in prayer on the day of Pentecost, there was given to them all the blessings that the Holy Spirit conveys. And that's the image that's here. God pours upon his people, those who seek him, those who ask for the anointing of the Spirit of God. He pours upon them his Spirit, which brings with him many wonderful gifts. We can read about it in Galatians, the chapter 5, if you want to look it up. Galatians chapter 5, and we read there in the verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit, that which the Spirit brings. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now that's a perfume of the sweetest aroma. A life that has those blessings within it is a life perfumed by heaven. And that's what God does when he anoints our head. Boys and girls, it is your privilege to say to the Lord, Lord, pour upon me thy Spirit and give to me those joys that the Holy Spirit alone can bestow. The last thing I want to point out is the overflowing cup. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Oh, I want you to think about that. We're all very used to a cup. You've had one in your hand already today, haven't you? You've had a drink of something to refresh you. Part of your breakfast. Likely Mum filled it. And she didn't put a wee dribble in the bottom. Or she didn't half fill it. She would have given you a full cup. Well, that's what God does. And more. God fills our cup until it's overflowing. You see, there's no limit to God's blessing. He doesn't pour into your cup and then say, right, that's enough, and stop. But he pours in until your cup is overflowing, until it can hold no more. That's God's measure, boys and girls. I want you to understand the goodness of God, the goodness of God. Matthew chapter 6 and the verse 31 says this, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. The Christian is not to worry. God provides. And he provides without limit. The cup runs over. The cup runs over. You may not understand that as young ones, but if you go on with God, and as you grow older and understand more clearly how God has been dealing with you, you will say with David, my cup is full, it's running over. Such has been the generous Spirit of God to me. You notice what David says here, my cup, my cup. Maybe in your home there is your cup. That happens sometimes. I'm sure in the kitchen here, each teacher has her cup. Woe betide anybody that would go to use it. It's her cup. Maybe it's the same in your home. There's your cup. And that's the one that's set down on the table before you. That's a common practice. Boys and girls, God has provided us with a cup. And as it were, he's put our name on it. It's our cup. And this is the wondrous thing about the religion of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a very personal religion. The false religion, some may call it Christianity, but it's not, is one in which people can crowd into a building and they're supposedly there to worship God, but they're there in a crowd. They have no sense of a personal relationship with God. But Christianity is a religion in which each individual Christian has a personal relationship with God. God ministers to them, and he fills their cup, provides for them that which he would have them enjoy and partake of. But you know, in the Psalm 11, and in the verse 6, there's another cup mentioned, and it's a cup that very, very few know anything about or think exists. Listen to what we read. Psalm 11, and the verse 6 says, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and an horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. So it's not only the Christian that has a cup provided by God, but the ungodly have a cup provided by God, but they don't realize it. And by their sinful rebellion against God and His truth, that cup of theirs is being filled up with God's judgment. And one day they'll have to drink it. How different it is if you're saved today. You have a cup into which God has poured innumerable blessing that will satisfy you, refresh you, strengthen you. Are you saved today, boys and girls? Is the cup you have given you of God one of salvation, or is it a cup of judgment that's filling up, and one day you will have to drink it? Are you saved? Are you like David? My cup runneth over. May the Lord bless you, and I trust it. Something of what has been said will benefit you and help you today. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we thank. We thank Thee for Thy precious word and for its instruction and for the wonders of it. Lord, we can stand before Thy word and gaze and gaze and gaze and gaze and see something new every time we look. Bless the boys and girls today. I pray, Lord, that they might recognize the mercies of God to them. And if they have not yet partaken of the cup of salvation offered to them freely, may they reach out and take that cup today and know what it is to be delivered from wrath to come. Bless the school. Meet its needs. Take care of it and protect all within it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.